Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome,
oh yeah,
to the number one
Bengals
podcast.
Off season, baby.
I'm your host, Daddy McDuck.
Oh yeah.
I'm joined as always by Dr. Hoji, Dr. Kismoji, and John, Gwen, and Stefani, Shirin.
Greenscape.
And as always, we have HR present, and I'm talking about. Talking about, obviously, Bridget Johnson.
How many beanies can you go through?
And that is, yeah, and that is...
He's going to run out soon.
Look, speaking of running out, we are running out of the dry part of the offseason where there's nothing going on. Bengals have their free agents. The draft is what, John? End of April?
Yeah, about a month.
Okay, so we have about another month of nothing to talk about. And then... it's going to be a week of a lot of news and then more nothing to talk about.
It sounds so like the holidays. Yeah.
Right.
You just keep looking at your stockings until little lumps of coal appear in them or candied treats.
Yes. And if you want to get your non-news here, you can, but you can also go to Brinks.tv. And I want to remind everybody to do that. And Courtney is doing some incredible journalistic work.
Yeah.
And she has a new... documentary called let me see if I get this right.
She's already cringing.
It is about the life of Madeleine Albright, and it's called "It Wasn't Worth It." And it is a debate about the value of life in the modern nation state. And it talks about all of her good sides and bad sides, her racist diatribes, and her. Justification of
Courtney does
child
not
mortality.
Have a racist diet. And, I mean, if Courtney had a racist bone in her body, she
no. This is the documentary about Madeleine Albright. I just want to clarify.
I see. You're referring to when Madeleine Albright was asked if the loss of what is it like 200,000 Iraqi children's lives.
I don't know. I didn't make the documentary. Yeah, I didn't make the documentary. But look, that is a big hit. Very popular podcast with the kids. And also, we want
to... It sounds like a real, you know, Hallmark card kind of pick-em-up.
Right.
Kind of, yeah.
Right.
Just in time for you know, the holidays.
The off-season, yes.
Yeah, definitely, and so something to watch in the off-season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so we also, if you go to winnow.app/DHSports, you can get a direct line to me, John, and Hoji. And we will send you texts and we will send you updates on all the non-news and eventually the news. And we will, rumors, and we'll talk about the show. And you can text back. No one's texted back. We have 2 subscribers, but no one's texted back. But yeah, but it is only $3 a month. And it's a way
to support
the show.
No one has texted us, or we just have never texted them back. Which one is
it? No, we've texted. I've texted. You two haven't texted.
No.
You still haven't texted. I've texted, but no responses yet.
Okay.
So let us move on and talk about the news. So Katie Blackburn, obviously. Bridget, sorry, you know about this, the recent fantastic article by Jeff Hobson about Katie Blackburn. Maybe you want to tell us about that.
Daddy, I don't know what.
Yeah,
you're,
you see,
going
and then I am the one who gets called out for not highlighting the contributions of women, and I am the one who read the article. You see that?
Prove me wrong, Daddy.
See, I am not HR, but I have done many, many years of therapy and marriage therapy and hypnotherapy, and this is what you call classic passive aggressive behavior.
Right.
You see,
right. He
asked Bridget to read to say an article that she hasn't read,
right?
So that he could say how he has read it.
Yes, and I am deserving of the award. Remember the award I got for feminist contributions to feminism
that you gave yourself
back in the island. Fine, but I funded it too. But right. No, what I'm saying is, last week I got called out for not knowing that Bridget's birthday was last month or whatever, and
the reality is. But-
Yeah. Well, the reality is, I know, because I am so in touch with the sensibilities of women, that they don't like for people to know their age. And that is a reflection of society, of our capitalistic society.
What is a sensibility?
So let's get back to the topic.
By the way, Bridget, happy birthday. I saw that you posted a picture of a special gift that your coworkers have gotten you, and I knew it wasn't us. Because
yes,
this show,
thank you. Yeah, thank you. It's the other coworkers, ones not led by Daddy-O. So thank
you.
Yeah,
we figured. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Keep going, Daddy-O. Tell us about Katie.
So keep digging your grave, young man.
So I'm going to dedicate
I'll dedicate
the next 3 seconds to the article. Essentially, what happened was Katie Blackburn is going to be John at the competition committee next Sunday in Palm Beach, Florida. And she's the only woman that will be there. And she's one of what, like 12 people at the competition committee, John?
It's like 10,
And they are pushing for some really, really incredible things. Like, for instance, they're pushing for, you know, no guaranteed money in contracts. I think that's one thing the Bengals are advocating for.
No.
And they are also pushing for no indoor practice facilities for anybody. But she is there. And the article talked about how all these other people are intimidated by her, they're scared of her, and they listen when she speaks. So she has done a great job. It is such a feel-good story, a true American success story. All the odds were stacked against her. You know, she goes to a prestigious law school, is the son of the owner, and somehow ends up in the front office. It's an inspiring story. Go read it on Bengals.com. That's all I wanted to say.
Daddy-O, thank you for lifting that up. The one thing I would say, women can be in these positions and have real sway without people being scared of them or intimidated by them. Sometimes they are just smart, competent leaders.
Well, that is okay. You don't have to attack me, Bridget. You don't have to attack me on the show.
You got canceled.
I don't know. And now Courtney is giving me the stink eye. I don't know. I don't know if I can go on. I'm honestly shaking.
You looking at the
I'm
dynamics
shaking.
On the
It actually
looking
sounds at, like Daddy-O is intimidated by both women part of this program.
It does seem that
I am.
You know,
and now
something people don't know about Daddy-O, because you would think that he would be the one who would have had 14 different marriages, not me. But Daddy-O is asexual.
Divorce is very expensive. It's very expensive. Yeah.
Undeniable, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that we can all agree.
Right. I think Hoji cut out. Is he there?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, you just stopped talking. That was strange. I've never experienced that before.
You probably filtered me out.
That was Courtney. Look, John, speaking of intimidating people, the pass rush. I want to talk about the pass rush, John, because DJ Reader responded to a tweet by Andrew Russell, I think, right? The PFF guy?
Yes, yeah.
And he was like, he said, hey, the Bengals think they fixed the pass rush and they have the same pass rush. Wasn't good enough last year. That's a problem. Something like that. DJ Reader says, hey, we had 41 sacks. Only what? 7 teams had more. And the reality is, John, that the pass rush in the playoffs, the pass rush wasn't elite.
Yeah, they got the job done. I would beg to differ. I would beg to differ.
Okay,
but go ahead.
And but
I was
the
just
reason...
begging to differ. I haven't differed yet. I will differ later. Right now, just begging to.
Right. And here's the thing. Trey Hendrickson, John, had a back injury he was dealing with, right? Ogunjobi was out. Sure, we don't have him this year. It doesn't look like... You don't think we're going to get him back. But...
Probably not, no.
Yeah. I think he's going to command at least $5 million, right? And it doesn't seem the Bengals would do that for a rotational guy.
It's not even just the money, though. It's the fact that he was starting over B.J. Hill. Then they gave B.J. Hill a starter's contract. They're not going to give that to Ogunjobi. Like, what's the dynamic there? Like, does he want to go back to the team that now is starting the guy who backed him up for most of the season? Like, I don't know what that...
John, but weren't their snaps basically 50-50? Weren't they about half and half the...
It ended up that way, but on most pass rushing snaps where Ogunjobi got the production, like, he was on the field and B.J. Hill wasn't.
But here's the thing, John. What are his options? Like, he goes back to a team where he had great chemistry and great production, maybe signs another one-year deal, shows that his foot's healthy, then gets the big deal next year. He's still, what, only 30 years old, right?
Well, yeah, like the door, I think, is still technically open. But at this point, I think they're looking at potentially younger and cheaper options to fill that role at this point.
The door is open, but it's hitting him on his behind on the way out. Now, here's what I would say, which is that basically an elite defense looks different in the playoffs than it does in the regular season. You know, it's not about sacks. Sacks is great, but there's a kind of conservatism, which I admired that Lou Anamoromo was able to do in the playoffs that meant two wins. It was the defense that was, in my opinion, the truly elite part of our team all season long, including in the playoffs. And even, I would say, in the Super Bowl. I mean, that was an elite team. That game against Kansas City, with the greatest game of maybe my life, that was a defensively led team. That is as elite as it gets. John?
Well, but John, we're talking about pressures, not sacks. Pressures. What would you say,
John?
When I say smart stuff,
I go, John, because I want to hear John.
Yeah, I do that too.
Actually, I think he thinks I think he agrees. And then when he agrees, it's like, wow.
What is the question?
The question is, he's saying, was the defense still elite? Yeah, that's the thing. That wasn't very a smart thing to do. Let me phrase it in a John appropriate way.
Okay,
John.
That's such a
dumb question.
Defense
stepped up. The defense had great plays, big time plays. Secondary made some big interceptions, big pass breakups. The defense stepped up second half against the Chiefs. But overall, how would you grade our pass pressure, our ability to get to the quarterback in the playoffs?
This is where stats are. Like, there are many stats that you can look at, and some of them translate to future success more than others, or some indicate more consistent success than others. And I think sacks at this point, like, players are always going to look at sacks because players get paid for sacks. That's why Ogunjobi got the deal that he got initially, because he had a career year sacks wise. But in terms of, like, actually winning as a pass rushing unit on a per play basis, the Bengals weren't necessarily elite. They happened to finish a lot of the pressures that they did generate, which is why they ended up getting as many sacks as they did. But in terms of going forward now, I don't know if you're counting on another 15 sack season from Trey Hendrickson. I don't know if you're counting on another 8 sack season from Sam Hubbard. You might have gotten the very best out of both of those guys. And I'm not saying that they're going to be bad going forward. I'm saying the sack number might decrease because the players that they have right now, I don't think a lot of them are high pressure rate players. Maybe Joseph Asai becomes that, but we don't know. He's a projection.
He was amazing in the preseason. I think it was one game, but he was against the Bucks, against a very good offensive line, the Bucks. He was amazing. There's also the Darius Hodge guy.
But listen, a defense is not a buffet. You're not going to add up. You know, I ate three grapes. I had 4 muffins. You know what I mean? It's a pass breakup is hard to do. An interception is hard to do.
This question is even more out of this. I have no idea what he's saying. Well, does anybody understand what he's saying?
I'm saying no. I haven't gotten my point. I haven't gotten my point. What I'm saying is that it's not about who is going to do this and who's going to do that. It's a unit. And yes, we have a lot of talent, but it's the way that defensive unit work together.
Yeah,
one person. Look, the famous interception. The famous interception. Who, one person tips it, another person catches it. Who gets the credit? Only one person gets the credit for the interception.
Most of the credit goes to Jesse Bates. We're talking about the front. If you can't get pressure with your front four, okay, consistently, you are going to get burned by the better offenses. You can't blitz. You can't do that kind of stuff too much. And if we don't get that consistent pressure, we're not going to see those big plays in the secondary because they're going to have too much time and they're going to get beat. John?
The issue here is that like they have four quality starters at defensive line. Behind that, it's a ton of question marks, and you need that depth throughout the game because you have guys rotating in and out, giving other guys breathers like Khalid Kareem, Cam Sample. Like even with Joseph aside, that's probably not enough at defensive end. And behind B.J. Hill, they have no pass rushing defensive tackle presence. Like D.J. Reader can only do so much. Yet is the question, right? Does that come into the draft? Does that come with another free agent?
Speaking of the draft, let us go to that, John. Let us talk about along the lines. I know you want to talk about some draft prospects.
Yeah, there's two that I think are being circulated right now amongst Bengals fans. You have Devontae Wyatt from Georgia, who I think just turned 24, so he's really old for a guy just coming into the NFL. But if you played college football at Georgia and you were a defensive player, odds are you're probably going to be good in the NFL, regardless of how old you're coming in. I think he's going to be immediately good because of how physically developed he is already. He's a phenomenal athlete. He was incredibly productive at Georgia. He just provides a lot of explosion at that position. There's not really something that you can't ask him to do. Now, he played next to and with other tremendous players, so that's obviously something that maybe impacted some of his production. But if you're going into an already pretty stacked defensive line, I think you would like that transition to be pretty seamless. So maybe his age does push him down to the 31st overall spot, but he's someone that I think, you know, NFL teams are going to be really high on because of how productive and how well he played at the end of his career there.
Well, John,
I got to say, yeah, I got to say, John, to me that sounds like cheating. If you're doing explosions, I mean,
no,
you can't.
No.
You can't do that. That's like, you know, you got to use what's on the field. You got to use your body. Can't do explosions at the line.
I don't think he's killed anybody, so he at least has that going for
him. Yeah, we already talked about the Madden Albright podcast. That was a long time ago. Look, I want to talk about, John, his short arms. Because
oh my gosh, alligator arms.
Yeah. We know the problem. Yeah. And that's the thing.
You
that's
can't get on the van with alligator arms. That's true in rock and roll, and that's true in football, by the way.
Right. This title, by the way, refers to the, I think it's the desire to get Wyatt. The want for Wyatt. Like they want Wyatt, yeah. And there's a desire.
You are definitely not a DJ reader, Daddy-O, the way you spell. Right.
But John, here's the thing. The short arms. And I mean, look, he has incredible lateral quickness. He moves really, really fast for the guy that size, side to side.
But what good is that? I mean,
it's
you got to move forward and backward. This is not.
We've
crabs.
Talked about this. There are different
not crabs. They're humans.
You can move in any direction in the NFL. I don't know about college, but John, I guess the question is, will he be able to, you know, hold up against these bigger, taller offensive lineman? Will he be able?
Where's his narrative that he's small? He's 6'3".
He's got alligator arms.
He's got 33-inch arms. Those aren't small at all.
Those are little baby arms. It's like,
what do you have his arms at?
It's like when you take the arms of a Cabbage Patch doll and you put it on a human. That is not a human.
Geno Atkins had shorter arms. Just saying.
Yeah. Speaking of Geno Atkins, if he's fully healthy, we talk about the backup. No.
That man is so happy being retired. I do not want him back on an NFL field.
Okay. Well, I guess if John doesn't want him back, that's that.
Why would you want him back? If he's happy doing what he loves right now, being with his family, just being
he doesn't
a dad,
know what's
why?
Good for him. He doesn't know what's good. Because,
he doesn't?
John, here's the thing. He needs to win a
he
Super
He needs
Bowl.
A ring.
His life is not going to be complete. Look, there was a point where we were comparing Geno Atkins to Aaron Donald. Or we were comparing Aaron Donald to Geno Atkins. Aaron Donald was on the rise, and it was like, oh, he's the next Geno Atkins. And then they were on par with one another. And then Geno Atkins had the ACL, and then he had a bad season following that. And then he had a kind of a bounce back season. And then the team got old. And then people are like, oh, he was good, but, you know, not Hall of Fame material. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. One or two
Who says
great
he's not
years
Hall of Fame material?
Geno, I want to grab Geno Atkins by his little baby alligator arms and pull him onto the Bengals.
I sat next to Geno Atkins on a plane once, and his legs, he may have little baby arms. I did not notice. This man had tree trunks for legs. Have you ever seen this man's legs?
You're telling me.
He definitely has little arms compared to Daddy or Hoji.
John, you are telling me you want this guy with tree trunk legs walking around playing with a little, what, two-year-old instead of being on the football field? John, that is irresponsible.
If he plays another year on the football field, who knows how long he can play with his little daughter?
John, how old is he?
Oh, I see. You're talking about, like, concussions and stuff.
You know, I think he's 33, 34.
He's still a baby. You know, he's
I told you about all the injuries I suffer from this show, and you don't seem to care about all the little, the joints, the ligaments, the tears, just from going through the paperwork, and just from,
Daddy,
you know,
we literally had the
cutting
doctor,
coupons.
No, we had the doctor to a full eval. You are not suffering any of these things.
Oh, so he's been gaslighting us.
It's all fantasy.
Yes, those are,
it's all fantasy.
Those
it's passive aggressive
claims. Those are
he gets on the phone and he
You'd
says, come help me. I can't walk. Come help me. Drive me here. Drive me there. Because if I don't want to buy a car.
Well, here's the thing. You'd be surprised the things you can charge to a company HSA account. And that is kind of the secret of my.
Not only did you want to devoid Geno Atkins of his rightful retirement, but you've used him now to create an inappropriate tangent from the show, and I will not allow it.
And speaking of inappropriate tangents, let's go to the Hojoscope, please.
Yeah, let's go. You know, tons of people take multivitamins, but it's important to choose one that is top quality. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. Their special blend of ingredients, it supports gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus. I mean, it's anti-aging. It's lifestyle-friendly. It fits a wide range of diets. And you know what? There's only 1 gram of sugar, no chemicals or artificial anything. Okay, so reclaim your health and you arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's one scoop and a cup of water every day. I take it myself, you know, and to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/believe. That's BLEAV. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/believe, BLEAV. So for those of us who do follow the news, there's a heartwarming story out there about a hero named Fezco. I don't know if you've heard Fezco's story, but this beautiful little dog, if you could pull up his picture, Courtney, this beautiful little dog, Fezco. You can see him right now. See that beautiful, look at those eyes. Look at that poor dog. Fezco is a gay dog. And his owners abandoned him because of his sexual orientation, his lifestyle. They said, we don't want a gay dog. And that's when... if you could pull up the next picture, Courtney. That's when Steve Nicholson and his partner John in Charlotte, North Carolina, adopted Fezco, and they renamed him Oscar after the Irish playwright Oscar Wilde. So now, in this picture, you see Steve and Oscar and this beautiful dog, once Fezco, now Oscar, has a home. Now, you wonder, what does this relate to football? Well, this story reminded me so much of Baker Mayfield. Because Baker Mayfield, as you know, he's like this gay dog. He doesn't have a home. He's not wanted by anybody. Well, he's wanted by a lot of people, but he's got this contract that people won't take him from. And people think he's not valuable. But he's very valuable. I watched that man beat the Bengals in week 9. This guy had 17 touchdowns last year. Despite the fact that, you know, we might have to cut this beautiful music. As excited as it makes me, he had 17 touchdowns last year. And all that with injuries to his shoulder and a lot of psychological warfare between, you know, him and the coaches. He's going to go to a team and be very successful. The question is, why isn't he wanted? It's that everybody is looking for the next Joe Burrow. Everybody thinks that Joe Burrow is an answer. But, and here I quote Adam Pac-Man Jones on our show, there is only one Joe Burrow. So my Hojoscope is that our special man,
Baker Mayfield is going to have just a great season, just like Fezco, the gay dog, is going to have a great life with his new owners in Charlotte, North Carolina. And that is my horoscope.
Wow. Wow. That was powerful. That was powerful.
It was music.
And yeah, that was great. Yeah,
the music uncopyrighted. Was really
uncopyrighted music. That's fantastic. We can still monetize the show. I love it. But yeah, that was inspirational. And Baker Mayfield, I think, would appreciate it.
I thought about that because
the Browns
called themselves the dog pound, I believe, or the dog.
I mean, that's true. But I will say Baker Mayfield is at a low point when even Bridget is making fun of him on the show. That's the only person she's ever targeted. That tells you.
I wasn't making fun of Baker Mayfield.
Right.
I just have to say, though, a point of clarification, and John, I'd be curious of your take. Did Baker Mayfield beat the Bengals in week 9, or did the Bengals beat the Bengals in week 9?
Ooh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
That's more of a philosophical point, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Baker looked good.
Baker has only looked good against the Bengals, basically, John, right?
But that means a lot. Because remember,
why do you think the Steelers want him?
Yeah, that's why everybody's trying to play the Bengals.
Honestly, I hate to say this. I really hate to say this. Baker Mayfield will be successful on the Steelers. I hate to say that.
That's what I mean.
But that's the nature of the Steelers. Because
Baker Mayfield would have been more successful than Deshaun Watson on the Browns. That's the point I'm trying to make.
No.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
No.
You don't get it. It's not about stats.
No.
It's about energy vibes. You give him that new coach, he's going to do great.
Steelers went to the Super Bowl with Neil O'Donnell, and he was the quarterback for a long time. It wasn't one of those freak years or something.
Pretty sure they lost the Super Bowl.
They did, but my point is they have the kind of franchise and culture where they can get the quarterback to win instead of having the quarterback being a hero, as you say, like Joe Burrow. It's the opposite of the Bengals.
A Fezco.
It makes winners out of you. The Bengals need a winner to make winners out of the Bengals. Okay, look, enough of that, and let us go to Daddy-O Cares.
But does he?
Well, I think Daddy-O, let's educate Daddy-O a little bit on this. Sure. So coming up in May, it's almost April. So coming up in May, we've got Mental Health Awareness Month, and at the show, we care about mental health, right, Daddy-O?
We care about, let me check if you told me, but give me a note before the show. Yes, we do. That's right.
Yeah,
I have the answer right here. Yeah.
I kind of wanted you to string all the words together.
I had to just check. Just wanted to make sure it wasn't a trick. Yeah.
It is not a trick. So a couple weeks ago on the show, folks know I was sad about CJ Uzomah leaving. I'm less sad now after seeing his dog in a Jets bandana or whatever on Twitter. I feel over it now. But we acquired Hayden Hurst through free agency as our new tight end. And on, I think, March 19th, John shared a video, a must-watch video from Hayden. And I don't know if folks know a lot about his story or a lot about his philanthropy, but Hayden deals with some really serious mental health issues and even attempted suicide when he was a little bit younger, when he was in college. And his journey and his story led him to create the Hayden Hurst Family Foundation that's all about focusing on mental health and suicide prevention. So their big message is especially for kids and young people who have seen really dramatically increased suicide rates, especially over the last 2 years through the pandemic, they're all about reminding them you're not alone. And he's really about eliminating the stigma of mental health and what it means to talk about mental health and in what can sometimes be a toxic masculinity culture in the NFL. He's bringing something really new and different that I know a lot of other guys are doing too. So something that was really cool over the last couple weeks, people have been donating in the hundreds to the Hayden Hurst Family Foundation, Cincinnati fans have, just to welcome him to the team and to support what he's all about. And I wanted to bring this to Daddy O Cares, A, because mental health awareness is super important. Suicide prevention is something that folks don't talk nearly enough about in a fairly male-dominated industry like the NFL. It's important to just norm talking about this. But for me, I was also really sad by the loss of CJ Uzama's leadership and the heart and emotion he brought to the team. And then I watched the video that John shared, and I was really inspired by the fact that there's going to be this new dude in the Bengals locker room who's clearly a vulnerable and powerful leader, someone who shared his story and is really advocating for something he cares about. There's a cool clip in that video of him talking to Dak Prescott after a game about, like, we should collaborate. Thanks, man, for sharing your story. So I think this is a perfect example of something we should lift up in Daddy O Cares. So we are excited to welcome Hayden Hurst to the Cincinnati Bengals. I think he's going to be an interesting leader for the team. I don't know if he'll be as loud or, you know, as like media friendly maybe as CJ was. And it's certainly not a one-to-one comparison just because they're both tight ends, but he's definitely a really stand-up dude. And if you can check out the Hayden Hurst Foundation, HaydenHurstFoundation.com. And if you're willing and able, feel free to make a donation as a Bengals fan and support some local mental health initiatives.
Wow. Thank you. Well, that was great. And wow. I just want to apologize on behalf of the show for that. I don't think that subtopic was related at all to what you wanted to talk about, but that is because we have a very young graphic designer. Yeah, this was more about the football side of it.
But Daniel, I would love for you to open the very tight coin purse of your heart and pull out some love. But
yeah,
since you want, maybe we can donate Daddy to the cause. Just give him on over.
Well, I just want to say this. Him. They talk about CJ Uzama as being the heart of the Bengals team. And the reality, John, tell me if you disagree, is that, look, the heart just quietly keeps, what is it? It keeps beating.
Pumping.
And it keeps you alive. And the heart, I would say, is Joe Burrow. Very quiet, but consistent, powerful leader who powers the rest of the team. I would say that Uzama was more like the mouth. Right, he is expressing all of the emotions of the team, very vocal, but the mouth really doesn't necessarily keep the whole thing alive. And so you know, I don't think we're going to lose actual leadership. I think we're going to lose
the expression. Well, who's the nose? Because if you lose your mouth, you're going to need your nose because you have to breathe.
No, I think that other people can step up and be the mouth. You know, I think, look, Jamar Chase was a rookie. He's going to be more vocal in his second year. He's our, you know, second or third best player now, right? So what is John thinking?
John's thinking about the promotion. Nose. Yeah. Like, I have a big nose, so I feel like I'm qualified to speak on this subject. And I can't think of a Bengals player that has like a big schnauzer on their face. But no, I think I was worried that you were going to do some like revisionist history now that Uzama's gone. But I think that's actually a pretty apt comparison.
Thank
I
you.
Do too, actually.
I was going to say the nose would be the guy who's the best at the sniffing out the nonsense. He's a sniffing out. So that would be maybe Von Bell. Remember when he knocked Juju Smith? Yeah. He will call you out.
Obviously nonsense. McPherson is the feet.
So McPherson
is the feet.
Okay.
So is Burrow both the brain, like the heart and the arm? He's also kind of the brain, is he not?
And the brain. He's the heart and the brain. No, the arm is Maxie.
DJ Reader
the arm would be
DJ
Trey Hendrickson, DJ Reader. Those would be the heart.
Because
they
hit the hair.
They smack you. So there you go. That was free analysis in the no news section of the off season, where it's still making news and making headlines.
Yeah.
And for that, all we ask is a small donation that you can write off promotion. Your taxes. Tax season is around the corner. It is time to donate as much as you can. Because remember, when you donate, that means the government will pay you back that exact same amount. Whatever you give to us, it'll come back with interest.
That. I think you brought it to John's eye with that heartfelt message.
Patreon.com/DHSports. You can be a patron. And last week, we gave a birthday shout-out, if you remember. Bridget gave the birthday shout-out. And we gained a new patron in the process. Obviously, that wasn't our plan. That wasn't our plan. Bridget, maybe that was your plan. I don't know.
That was not my plan.
Not my plan, Bridget. But we did. Yes. And so if you become a patron, we can give you a shout-out, tell you a story. And if you join the highest tier, I think we have some great prizes. Like you get a free drawing and all that kind of stuff. You come on the show. All right. Any final notes? By the way, Andy Dalton is signed with the Saints. A lot of people want us to talk about that. That is that's some actual news.
How about donate to the Hayden Hurst Foundation before becoming a patron here?
John, I can't. Maybe the music. The music kicked in. I can't hear you. But there you go. That is the show. For Technology Electric Smoji, John, Gwen Stefani, Sheeran, and HR.
Yeah.
I'm Daddy McDuke. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
So long, SVT.
Yeah.
Buzz.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.